Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, we are here tonight. Happy Valentine's Day. A late happy Valentine's Day, but happy Valentine's Day anyway. Yep. All right. Thank God we're here. And thank God you're here. Glad to have you tonight. Hopefully all is well tonight. If it's not, we're going to pray for you if all is well. We want to pray that it keeps going well, right? We always want it to keep going well. I know I do. That's for sure. All right, let's see what's going on here. If you want to get into the show tonight, 319-527-6027. Hopefully everybody can hear me well. We're going to have a little audio issues with some of the other shows, so hopefully you are there with me and able to hear me tonight. Real good. Okay. All right, I'm going to talk about all kinds of different things probably. I'm not sure where we're going to go exactly, but I know one of the things that I've been learning is about the process of, you know, when God speaks. Last week we talked about 1 Timothy 1:18, where Paul told Timothy to commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you. In other words, he's been prophesied to many times. By different people, that by them you may wage a good warfare. When you think about Abraham and how Abraham was spoken to by God, you know, from the time he was like 75 years old, God started promising him things. 75 years old, God started promising Abraham stuff. It's like, whoa, why do we want to look at him? Who would ever want to look at somebody whose words took 25 years to come to pass? We're going to try to steer away from that one, right? But not that it takes 25 years for words to come to pass, but when you see how that when God speaks, like he spoke with Joseph, we know that Joseph was spoken to by God by two dreams. They were sovereign dreams that were going to come to pass, you know, regardless of what, but God spoke to him that his brother's going to bow down to him, the sun and the moon, the stars going to bow down to him. And they both, the dreams both meant the same thing. And so God had spoken to him and confirmed to him. You know, he didn't speak to him once. He confirmed to him what was going to happen. Of course, he didn't know. God didn't say you're going to Egypt and you're going to rule with the sun god, Pharaoh, and rule over the moon, considered as Egypt at the time. He didn't tell him that. It says your brothers can come bow down to you. So he's just thinking all kind of things. So then, you know, once God speaks to you, what does it really mean? I mean, what does it really mean? We may think we know what it meant. I think he thought he knew what it meant. I think that he thought that his brothers were going to, he was going to have the best crops, like his father Isaac had 100-fold crops, right, in the midst of famine. Isaac had a real anointing for that. He thought, well, you know, I'll be like Isaac, my grandfather, or greater. And my brothers, the 12 tribes, the 11, out of the 12 tribes, 11 of them are going to be bound down to him. In other words, honoring him. Because he was going to be the one that was going to be the most resourceful, most productive. And so, of course, that ended up coming to pass. But it wasn't quite like he thought, right? We've talked about that many times before. Well, the same thing with Abraham. Abraham was told by God, you know, let's look at the first one here. Abraham was about 75 years old. I think this is Genesis chapter 12. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to your descendants, hang on a second. Give me just a moment here. To your descendants, I will give this land. And there he built an altar. It's when Abraham had taken off from his mother and father and took some kinfolk with him, and he went walking around Canaan. And, you know, when the Lord, it says the Lord appeared to him. It's kind of like the same thing as Joseph. You know, the Lord appeared to him in a dream, in a vision, very, very plain vision and dream, very plain as far as it being from God. And Abraham had the same type of experience. And he says, to your descendants, in other words, you're going to have descendants, right? And I will give this land, I will give this land to them. And he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountains east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel, at Bethel, on the west of Ai, on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south. And then, of course, a famine hit the land. And Abraham heads toward Egypt, right, to make sure he has food. And, you know, for some reason, Egypt is the place for provision, just like in the days of Joseph when they had famine, right? So there's famine again, long before Joseph. Abraham is going toward Egypt. And, of course, we all know the story because we're looking at the process of how does the God kind of faith really work? How does the prophetic word work? How does it, when God speaks to you out of something other than, quote, the Bible, right? He didn't read that in the Bible. Right, God spoke to him, and he didn't speak to him through a prophet so much in this particular place, but he spoke to him in something out of something. You know, the voice of the Lord came, and he appeared to Joseph in a dream. He just appears to Abraham somehow or another, and speaks to him, and then he says, "I'm going to bless those that bless you, and I'm going to curse those who curse you," and you know, and so he goes on his way to Egypt, and you can start seeing the process of how God began to bless him. He didn't give him children yet. There was no descendants to pass anything down to, personal descendants, any children, and that's what God had done. He was promising him children. When he said, to your descendants, when you look up the word descendants, let's look up that word descendants. Descendant, all right, let's go here to descendant. Computer's a little slow. Come on, computer. I don't know. I know what descendant means in general, but let's look it up specifically. Maybe I should just do it the regular way. Meaning of descendants. All right, descendants, a person, plant, or animal that is descended from a particular ancestor. All right. What does descendants mean? One, originating or coming from an ancestral stock or source. One descendant from another descendant of King David, a descendant of an ancient grass, what I want to hear right now, one deriving directly from a precursor or prototype. Okay, that's getting a little bit too carried away. Descendant in the family is a person who is an offspring. All right, so God promises him offspring. And all right, so he's promising him offspring here. And so when he did that, he was basically telling him, you're going to have family. And you're going to have family, you're going to have children to pass down your stuff too. Okay, so he said to him when he's 75 years old, when he first came out of he left the land of his mother and father and went to a land which God would show him. So he goes on his way to Egypt. So he's starting to see the process here of how God began this. He said, I'm going to bless those who bless you. I'm going to curse those who curse you. So he goes into Egypt and he tells Sarah, you know, that you're so beautiful that they're probably going to kill me to take you. So tell them that we're brother and sister. That way there will be no intimidation factor there at all. So they did it. They agreed together. At least they agreed together on something. At least when they showed up, she didn't say, no, he's really my husband. she got freaked out, right? But she didn't freak out. She said, yeah, he's my brother. And so the Pharaoh kind of, you know, blessed Abraham, kind of paid him some money. And Abraham began to get his first blessings. In fact, when he walked out of Egypt, eventually, after God had plagued the house of Pharaoh for taking Sarah, he didn't do it in an aggressive, ugly way. He was very nice. He said, "Who is this woman?" She says, "My sister." She said, "That's my brother." She says, "Well, you know, would you like to be like to live in the high life in the kingdom?" You know, of course, they kind of took her away. And little did they realize that they had taken someone whom the Messiah was going to be born through, and God did not want her defiled with anybody except a relationship with Abraham. And so he plagued them, right? That was the first sign that God's saying, even though these people weren't ugly and mean to you, even though they didn't really curse you, in a long distance view, they were cursing him, because even though they did not know it, there was no evil going on here. It was just the fact that God was protecting the seed of Abraham and the woman who would bring forth Isaac, who would bring forth Jacob, who would bring forth the 12 tribes, who would bring forth Judah, who would bring forth Christ, right? So he was protecting all that. So Abraham began to see the process of how God was speaking to him. He didn't know when he was going to have children. He probably thought he was going to have children like right away, right? You know, 75 years old. They can still have children. Sarah can still bear children. And, you know, it didn't happen. It just kept not happening. And so God saw that Abraham was getting discouraged, right? You ever had that happen to you, right? You start getting discouraged, and God speaks to a prophet or to a dream or to a vision and encourages you, hey, this is going to happen. Don't give up. And yet it keeps just not happening, right? You know, after 25 years, that's a long time to wait, but I think this is probably an endurance test that God wants us to look at and go, you know, the process of the word of the Lord coming to pass is that he begins to show you that he means what he says. When he told Abraham, I'm going to bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, the first big instance he had with that was shocked him. He was totally in shock. He was like going, yeah, God, I know you said that, but I didn't know what you meant by that. I mean, he didn't do anything bad to me. He didn't try to curse me, and yet you protected me. They tried to, they were just thinking about touching her, and their whole kingdom of Pharaoh's family nobody could bear children. It was a curse, you know, of being, you know, not being able to have multiply and increase. And so it severely, people in those days especially loved having children. They wanted to have a lot of children. That's how they grew their family. That's how they took over nations, was they grew their families, right? So it was a big thing. And when Abraham had, you know, watched God. He was like shocked, like, oh, my God. You know, Pharaoh came and said, you know, what have you done to me? And he's going like, huh, what? What'd I do? He said, what have you done to me? You've cursed me. And God showed me that you're a prophet and that I need to get you to bless me. You know, and Abraham's going like, oh, yeah, prophet, yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 I'm a prophet. Of course, yes, of course, yes. Let me take that. But how can I pray for you? Yeah. And so he prayed for Pharaoh, and Pharaoh, you know, felt blessed, and the curse came off of him, or the plague came off of him, and he blessed Abraham with lots of stuff. In other words, what was God doing? He was showing Abraham, hey, Abraham, remember what I told you? I'm going to protect you and watch over you. You know, I'm going to curse those who curse you and bless those who bless you. Well, guess what? It happened, and, you know, I don't know if anybody really cursed you, but in my eyes, you're going to mess with my Messiah. So, you know, I had to take care of business, so I had to watch over that. And Abraham was like in shock. He's like going, oh, my God. Oh, what, Lord, you really are with me. We really are going to have a child. We really are going to increase and multiply and fill the earth. We really are. This is going to be amazing. And then guess what? It just kept not happening. It just kept not happening. And I mean not happening and not happening and not happening. I mean, and Abraham, you know, was told to go out and look at the sands of the seashore years later, you know, and God just kept trying to encourage him. You know, I know I told you you're going to be blessed. I know I'm going to bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. I've already showed you that a little bit, but I know you haven't had your own descendants. So Abraham began to question. He said, well, maybe my descendant's going to be, you know, one of my kinfolk among me. And God says, no, it's not going to be him. He's a wonderful guy, but he's not going to be him. It's going to be, I'm going to give you your own child. Abraham's like going, yeah, well, you know, I'm almost to the age where we can't do this anymore. This is almost becoming, we are close to impossible here. So what the heck is going on around here? And so he was just really frustrated with him. And then when Abraham was 99 years old, Genesis 17, verse 1, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. In other words, he's saying, hey, don't give up. I know I spoke to you in Genesis 11 and 12, that I'm going to bless you. And, you know, years, 25 years later, I'm appearing to you, and I'm going to tell you, walk before me and be blameless. In other words, he was encouraging him. Don't fail. Don't falter. Well, Abraham faltered and failed anyway. They got together, him and Sarah, had their own child, right? It ended up being cursed. It ended up being not a blessing. And then after he tells Abraham, I'm going to walk before him, he says, I will make my covenant between me and you. It's not going to be between you and somebody else. It's going to be between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. He had no chance of that happening yet. Nothing was going on. God keeps telling him, I'm going to bless you. You're going to have children. And yet he kept having no children. Anybody relate around here? Can anybody relate to this? The process of faith, the process of God doing things his way. Because the whole thing with Abraham was, Abraham had his idea of how it was going to happen. It was obvious when him and Sarah got together and decided that we'll just do it through one of our maidens. They're under our control. We own them. And so let's just do that. And so, you know, you can see that they were trying to bring it to pass, trying to figure it out, just like you and I try to figure it out. And sometimes when we try to make it happen itself, it gets delayed, it gets messed up, things happen. Doesn't mean that it won't happen. It just means that we kind of like create ourselves some issues. I've done that many times. As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, chapter 17, verse 4. You will be a father of multitude of nations. Yeah, right. Neither will your name anymore be called Abram, but your name will be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of multitude of nations. So now he changes his name, like that's going to fix anything. Well, changing the name is pretty cool, but he's like going, okay, so, but still I have no children. You're calling me Abraham, but where's the blessing, God? Where's the blessing? Thanks for cursing, you know, Pharaoh, although that was my fault, really. Thanks for having him make me rich. That was awesome. That was really cool. And then Abimelech, the same thing. Another king named Abimelech, the same exact same thing happened. And he said, then God says, I'm going to make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you. Kings will come out of you. You know, you ever heard words like that where, you know, 10 years later, 5 years later, you have all these promises from God. It's like, and he just keeps on promising. No, wait a minute now. Don't give up yet. Walk blameless before me, because, you know, you're going to have kings coming out of you. And you're going to have your own children. And nothing, no children, no nothing, no nothing. All right? And then all of a sudden, the angels show up. And when the angels showed up and told him, within 9 months, you're going to have a child. And Abraham's going like, Sarah's laughing. Abraham's going like, okay. I believe anything, because I know you spoke to me. It's 25 years later, and you promised me all this stuff, even changed my name. Well, that was cool. I like the name change, but still nothing. And then all of a sudden, an angels show up at his place, and three of them, and they are on their way to take care of Sodom, which is very prophetic in what I'm about to tell you, because they were on their way. Remember, Abraham interceded? Remember, him and Sarah just were about to get together out of the way past the age of being able to have children. And the angel said, okay, go get together and have a little fun, you know, have some sex and get together and make love. because this time you're going to bear a baby, and they're going like, yeah, okay. You know, and I'm sure they felt the anointing. They had to feel the anointing. I mean, when you're 99 years old, you know, and your wife's pretty close to the same, you're sitting there going like, it's going to take me anointing to make this thing happen, because it's like, wow, you know. And anyway, so they get together, and she's about to be pregnant and have a child 9 months from now. So watch the process of this. Watch this process. Because we're seeing the process of faith and how things happen. Ishmael, they already messed that up. And God still came through and still brought the blessing anyway. Isn't that wonderful of God? And then what happened next was amazing, which we're about to see in our world. That we're about to see some things happen with God and with his people. God giving people, giving them, breathing the breath of life in them, changing their names from Abram to Abraham, and changing names, bringing blessing, bringing forth wealth, bringing forth a new seed, a new generation, supernaturally, out of nowhere, when nothing seems to be going on. It seems like everybody else has taken over the globe. Everything else has taken over the world. This little seed, this little promise to Abraham, this little promise to PGN, this little promise to you, seems like it's just like, you know, is this thing ever going to happen? And yet we kept seeing signs along the way. We've seen major signs, really, along the way, but yet we haven't seen that happen yet. And let me tell you what's about to happen, friend. So when Abraham was promised by the angels, 9 months from now you're going to have a child, you know, Sarah laughed, and Abraham had laughed before that. So they go to Sodom. Now watch this. They go to Sodom. The next thing that happens, once they've told them that in 9 months you're going to have a child and that promise is about to come to pass, look what God did. He sent angels to tell them they were going to be pregnant, to go make love, and gave them anointing to do it. And then they go off to Sodom and Gomorrah, where Lot is, and God began to deal with sin and unrighteousness and began to pour out. He poured out his wrath. He poured out his anger on the unrighteous. Friend, we are about to see God deal with some unrighteous things, including merchandising, including a lot of things that have been going on in the church, not necessarily in the world yet. That's going to happen later. But in the church, God is about to deal with this thing, just like he promised Abraham. Now it's going to come to pass. And then at the same, in the same visitation, the visitation wasn't just to tell Abraham that. The visitation was also to go to Sodom and Gomorrah and get Lot out of there, which Lot's wife didn't make it, and tell them God is about to rain down fire and brimstone on Sodom. Now, friend, I'm not talking about Sodom of the world right now. That's going to happen too. But I'm talking about the Sodom type abominations that go on in the leadership of the body of Christ, that God is about to rain down fire and brimstone and destroy those stiff-necked people who have resisted the word of God, who have resisted God and become unclean and in God's eyes an abomination. God is about to deal with that. And at the same time, now watch this, at the same time, he's raising up an Abrahamic seed. At the same time, Abraham's over here pleading. His wife just probably may be pregnant now. They got together, and, you know, after the angels left, and then Abraham, you know, starts worrying about, well, God, what if there's 50 righteous there? You're not unrighteous, God, are you? Are you unrighteous? That you would let, if there was 50 there, would you spare Sodom? God says, okay, if there's 50, if there's, he got all the way down to 10 or whatever it was, 10 or 5, and God said, if there's 10 righteous, I will not pour my wrath on them. So you see, Abraham just got a promise from God. He said, your promise is about to happen. You're about to have your promised seed. It's about to happen, literally, after 25 years. It's about to happen. But first I'm going to go, and I'm going to deal with, in this case, it's not the world so much at this point, as much as it is the abominations that are going on in the leadership of the body of Christ. God's about to pour down his fire and brimstone on that. Not to just destroy just because he's in the mood for it, because he's a just God. He said, if there's just five righteous or ten or whatever it was. Because God is a just God. Friend, we're going to see a lot of things go on. And people can go say, was that just of God? Was that just? Was that just? Was that just? Well, just like Abraham went to God and said, is it just that you destroy them? If they have 50 righteous, surely you won't do it if they have 50 righteous. Well, they didn't have it. They didn't have 10. They didn't have, I don't remember what it got. I think it got it down at 10. And friend, we are about to see the birthing of an Abrahamic seed that's going to be not only blessed with a multitude of a new generation that's coming forth and getting ready to rule and reign with Christ and live in the millennium, which sounds crazy right now, but that's just where we're going with this. And he's doing it at the same time he's dealing with the unrighteousness of the leadership of the body of Christ, so we can nip that in the bud and move on and be blessed by God. That is thus saith the Lord. When I saw that today, it blew my mind. When I saw that today, it shocked me. When I saw that today, I went, oh, my God. There's a lot more to it, but I'm just kind of giving you – I'm kind of breaking you in on Monday with this. And so what a week we've got ahead of us, so get ready, because happy Valentine's Day, Abraham and Sarah, you know. Happy Valentine's Day to Abraham and Sarah, yeah. There you go. And they really did, like – mess that up. He messed Valentine's Day up bad. Yes, he did. Little rascal. I wouldn't have done it any better, I'm sure. All right. So let's go here and see what's going on. I wanted to share that with you tonight. That was a very powerful word that I got from the Lord today. I never put all that together. I never saw that together like that. I never had noticed that being together in that fashion or form, but there it is. So I guess everybody can hear me okay, because nobody's contacted me that I know of. Let me know that. Okay. All right. All right, let's go here and take my first caller tonight. See what's going on. Let's talk to Jeannie from Texas. She's not my first caller, but I'm going to take her right now. Hey, Jeannie, what's going on tonight?
I'm good. I'm pretty good.
Well, I noticed you finally got your show going. What was the problem? Because I know somebody, I think LaShawn had problems with her show. And...
you know, mine has done this a bunch. Now, right now, because the carpenters are working in the house, I'm kind of having to move my desk and my computer from room to room. So tonight I had it in the music room where I've never had it before, and I could tell that my computer was running slow. There was like a delay. But it's actually done this a bunch of times. It's like it would start out, or when the program would start, if I had my phone on, it's this sounds weird, but it's like it'll switch to my phone. If I dial in, I mean, everything will start coming through my phone instead of coming through the computer. And I don't know how that happens, but
okay.
At any rate,
you got to figure it out.
I just dialed in and clicked on my own number, and it worked.
Right, you clicked on your own number. I think that's the best way to do it sometimes, yeah. Okay.
It's the only way I knew how to do it. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, if you got to figure it out, that's really cool. Okay, let's mute you for a second. Let's pray for you. And thank you tonight for Jeannie. God, we thank you for the servant in her, Father, to awakening the servant inside of her, that we're here to serve you. We're here to be vessels of yours. We're here to be open to what you want us to do, to give our life away. And in giving our life away, we increase and multiply. We're willing to die to self. We're willing to yield our life over. And the more yielded we become, the more influential we become, because then God starts speaking through us. Then God starts taking over our life. He starts moving through us. And I thank you, Lord, that everything Jeannie does, including her and Hollis, is a prayer of the new land, work on the houses, do all that, that they keep that image before them unto the Lord. And when everything you do unto the Lord. Then you enter into a reward system from heaven, and God starts rewarding you in the realm of the provision for your future, the provision for everything you're going to do in the future, and that whole reward system. That when we do everything as unto the Lord, God, I thank you, Lord, for her heart to serve you. I thank you for her her love to do what you say and only do what you say, Father, to hear your voice and yield to your voice, and learning to hear the voice of Jesus and listen to the voice of God, experimenting, working with, learning how, all the different ways that we hear from God. And thank you, Lord, that you're opening her up to new levels, to new ways of hearing your voice, new ways. First started, Gene, when I first started being used by the Lord, I just kind of had a one-way ticket with God voice, and that was just, you know, seeing images on the inside. You know, like that's how he would speak to me, and then it's like if I told you, you know, I see a big apple tree in the backyard with red apples all over it, and then I see right beside it another apple tree with green apples all over it. You know, you see those images in your mind, and how does that image come? It comes through hearing. It comes through words. And so God many times would speak to me like that, and then sometimes I would just know things, and they kind of all it all, kind of all mixes together. But then I began to find all these different ways that God would speak to me, you know, many, many different ways. Like I would be on my computer or have my phone in my hand, and all of a sudden, you know, a certain word on the page would just, you know, light up. And the Lord says, tell them this, and then tell them that. And so it just became so many different ways God began to speak to me. I began to hear his voice through people. I began to hear his voice, you know, in dreams and visions and all the different ways God began to speak to me. So I see God open you up to many different ways to hear his voice and those, and not just be, if you will, stuck on one thing. Not that you are stuck on one thing, but to be stuck on one thing, kind of like I was. And the many different ways God speaks. And then the more you understand God speaks in many different ways, then the more you hear from him. And so it's about hearing the voice of God more clearly, with more confirmation, and God giving you strength through his word. God's going to give you strength. You're going to learn to live off the word of the Lord, not just what we read in the Bible, but the word of the Lord. However he speaks to you, through dreams, through visions, through giving you words, giving you information, learning to live off of that. And when you learn to live off of it, then it can't help but come to pass. It has to come to pass because you're living off of the word by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. All right. So what's been going on? How is the house thing going on? What's up over there with all that stuff?
I mean, carpenters are working. You know, when I got sick, the carpenters got sick the same day because I guess I was already exposed and didn't realize I was. So they were off for a couple of weeks and are back. They've been struggling with the back bathroom some because this house is made out of blocks and some of the wiring and things like that. But anyhow, up at Winsboro, Hollis has been up there the last two or three days in a row working on fences. And, you know, we've lost some time between bad weather and between being sick, lost some time up there. But we've got we've got this house probably three quarters empty. We've got kind of leaving just enough to, we're basically sleeping in the chairs and couches because we've emptied the bedrooms other than a dresser. And so we're kind of sleeping in the den and got one bathroom working and still some stuff in the kitchen. But until we can get some more of the fences and barns done, we can't move. I'm still hoping that we get moved out by the end of, you know, third or fourth week of March, something like that, because the carpenters have got to be able to get this kitchen completely. And, you know, both of them are kind of old. It's just the two of them. And so, it may take them 3 weeks, maybe even 4 weeks to get all the kitchen area done. And I really want to get the house up for sale here before April is out.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so you guys are building fence over there. You can't really – now, do you have a barn and stuff to put the cattle? And I don't know what you have, horses, cows, what all do you have?
Well, we got both. But
I know you got a kitty cat.
There's no barn. I'll have to get a, you know, right now we're just going to build some loafing sheds. I'll have to get a barn built later on after we get this place sold and stuff like that. You know, it has a double wide trailer on it. The perimeter is fenced. It does have an arena on it and a couple of cross fences.
Oh.
But we've got to do a few more cross fences and then build loafing sheds for the horses. The cattle just won't have any kind of shed for now. And get a yard fenced in, you know, for the dogs so they can't just roam the whole property.
Yeah.
And just quite a bit still.
Yeah, sounds like it. Well, I kind of want people to know what you're doing. I don't even know exactly what's going on. I know you have a whole lot going on with that, and you and Hollis are doing a lot of the work as far as the fences and all that. I built a lot of fence myself. But then you have to transfer everything over. That's going to be quite a job when all that happens.
Yeah, I mean, that's honestly the first, you know, for the first, you know, we closed on that property November the 2nd. And really for the first 3 months, we've spent most of that packing stuff up here because, you know, we've been here 24 years and this is a pretty large house and all the farm stuff. So we've just been packing up, putting stuff in storage, putting some stuff in the double wide for now that, you know, we'll leave in, you know, till we can build something. And
the double wide, so the double wide is on the new property, right?
Yeah. It was already there. A young couple had been living there. So, it's a little three bedroom, two bath, double wide that's there. And, you know, it's a blessing that it was already there because it allows us to get out of this house, get it sold and have some place to live.
Yeah.
And then once this place is sold, then we'll start looking into building a home, preferably one smaller than this, but, a lot to do, but we've done a lot as far as packing up, putting things in storage and cleaning out some of the storage buildings here. And, you know, we'll start moving animals, you know, moving cattle up there probably the end of March. And, you know, we'll basically move all the animals when we move. But we're kind of getting down on our time frame now. Like I said, we lost 3 weeks. Hollis is already completely well. He's back working. I'm still, coughing and seem like today that I noticed that I've got trying to get a little tonsillitis. It seemed like there was a little bit of pus on one of my tonsils. So I've got an antibiotic today that I'm going to start in the morning that I just got from a guy online. So a doctor that you can talk to, a telemed doctor. So I'm not sure why the sinuses and the tonsil stuff's not clearing up. Other than that, I mean, I feel pretty good. But I haven't been on an antibiotic to this point, but I'm going to go ahead and do it.
Yeah. Well, you know, whatever it takes. I mean, I'm not against any of that stuff. If I need that stuff, I take it. You know, one time I had, I think I was doing a meeting. You may remember this. You might have been at that meeting. I did a meeting, and I had been out here in the backyard digging around in the poison ivy and didn't know I got into the poison ivy. And I had some meetings to do in Longview. And we did, I think we met a couple of different places. We had one meeting at a hotel there. I showed up with, poison ivy. People had never seen me before. Man, you sure are ugly. You're one ugly man. I've never seen you ugly before. You're ugly.
I had poison ivy. I must not have been to that meeting.
maybe you didn't go to that meeting, but anyway, doctor, what they had the radio show. What was her name? Doctor and his wife.
Radio show. You're not talking about. I'm not.
Yeah,
sure
him and his wife
one.
Had a radio show. I prophesied to them in a meeting one time in Longview, Texas. They showed up at my first meeting, they got kind of mad at me because I prophesied to them, I see you as a watchman on the wall, and I see you, you know, doing the watchman on the wall. And it went on to watchman on the wall to broadcasting to different things. And they never even thought about that. They had never been a thought in their head. They left the meeting that night, and they told Ken Chin, they said, Ken, that man's not a man of God because we didn't come there for that. And we drove all the way up there to hear him, and that's not what we came there for. Well, about 2 weeks later, they called me up. Okay, I can't even think of their names right now. Bless my heart. But they called. I guess Ken gave him my number, and they called me up and they said, Randy, we want to apologize to you. I said, well, who is this? And they told me their name, and him and his wife. And they said, we got a door opened up to do radio in Longview, a radio station, and do our own radio show. I went, okay, what does that have to do with it? I didn't know who I was talking to, you know. And they said, yeah, you gave us a word about that, and we got mad at you because we didn't come there for that word. We came there for some completely different thing. And then all of a sudden, our whole life turned around. I can't think of what his name was. Anyway, he was a dentist. He was a dentist. So that day when I showed up there on his radio show, I got on his radio show. He said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "I got poison ivy." He said, "Well, I'm a dentist. I'll get you some antibiotics or whatever they give you, penicillin." I can't think of what it was. So he gave me a prescription or whatever it is they give you for that. And he said, "You do believe in medicine?" I said, "You better believe it." Well, he said, "Well, here's a prescription for this." And within 2 days, he was gone. I've been fighting it naturally for like 3 weeks, mm-hmm. you know, and it wasn't going anywhere. And I looked horrible. I mean, I looked like a monster. It was horrible. And people looked at me that night, and I prophesied anyway. I showed up for my meeting and prophesied and ministered to people for I don't know how many hours. And I said, "I apologize to y'all tonight." I said, I got into the poison ivy. And but anyway, the medication that he gave me took care of it within two days. It was gone.
Was
I believe
Dr.
in all
Cotton?
That stuff. Huh?
Was it Dr. Cotton? Tom Cotton?
Yeah, it was Tom Cotton.
Okay.
What was his wife's name? I can't remember his wife.
Cheryl Cotton.
Cheryl. Yes. Who it is.
Yeah. He's my dentist.
Oh, he's your dentist? Oh, really?
He's my dentist. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I've known them back when they lived in Henderson. I've known them for years.
Yeah. He did a radio show. You know, they opened up a radio show for him after he had left my meeting that day. And I hope I think I got the story pretty close to right, but they were not very happy, you know, that meeting, according to what, you know, they told me. But, so anyway, yeah, when they gave me that medication, I said, yeah, I don't mind medicating. I try to fight things naturally if I can, and I pray, of course. He says, will you take this prescription? I said, you better believe it, man. Write it up, dude. And, yeah, so Dr. Cotton, that's it. That was his name, Cheryl. And, yeah, that brought back some
Cheryl
memories
Thomas,
for some
yep.
reason.
Yeah, when you said
so
dentist.
He's your dentist.
You know, it clicked. Yeah, when you said dentist, I thought, that's got to be Tom.
Anyway,
yeah, he's a hoot.
Yeah, at that time, they got me, they said, come on over, this word you gave us is coming to pass, come on over to the radio show, and me and Ken went over there, and they had me get on the radio show, and I started prophesying, I never forget this, that I didn't know it was his daughter, I think it was his daughter, her daughter, they had me get on the show, and they said, prophesy to this person, and of course, they knew who it was, you know, and I started giving this word about all these different things, and they said, Randy, you wouldn't even believe how absolutely correct that was. That was our, I think they said it was their daughter, or maybe Cheryl's daughter,
yeah,
his daughter.
They have two daughters. Yeah, they have two daughters.
Okay. All right. Confirmation. I'm getting most of this right.
Yep.
So they had me get on the radio and prophesy over people. It was a lot of fun. Anyway, so I can't believe he's your dentist, and here I am bringing this up. It's funny.
Yeah. Well, you and I have a lot of common acquaintances. I mean, all the years that you were over here in Longview and some in Henderson stuff, it's like a lot of the people that you were around, and of course, a lot of them went to the Dove back when we were at the Dove and things like that. So we have a lot of common acquaintances.
Yeah, don't we? That's so funny. That is so funny. And he's actually here. I'm trying to think of the guy's name. I couldn't even think of his name, and you knew him, and he's your dentist. All I can remember about him is that he was a dentist because he was able to get me a prescription, so... I said, yeah, man, I'll take it. I'm not against prescriptions or medicine at all.
No.
But I just have to, you know, I wouldn't go to a doctor, let a doctor take care of it. I just, you know, anyway, he did, so it's really a blessing. But, all right, so I don't know why we got off on all that stuff, but that was a lot of fun. Dr. Tom Cotton and Cheryl Cotton, they're so sweet, man.
Yeah, they're a hoot. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and he's a worshiper. He plays the piano and everything.
Oh, does he really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's good.
I didn't know any of that.
Yeah.
All right, interesting. Okay. Well, obviously God's going to start broadening his voice to you, and You know, I remember when he first started, you know, I didn't know God spoke the way he did to me. And it kind of narrowed, it was kind of narrowed down. I didn't know it was narrowed down. I was thankful. But man, when he started showing me all these different ways he'd speak to me, like I see a picture on a wall, you know, I'd be at a meeting somewhere and the Lord would have me focus on a picture on the wall. He said, tell them, and whatever, I'd see the picture on the wall, you know. I don't want to get into all the different ways he speaks to me, but anyway, well, so I see that really happening with you. Yeah, that's really cool. The prophetic realm.
Yeah. God's good. God is good. Yeah, you know, used to, I'll go through seasons that the Lord will really give me a lot of dreams, and it seemed like I've not been so much in a dream season here really for the last year. But I'll go through times that the Lord will really talk to me and direct me through dreams, and then, you know, I'll have several in a row, and then it seems like it'll be months or seem like he has taught me more just to listen to his voice more in the last year. So,
okay.
And really, this month is 2 years that I've been doing the Blog Talk program.
Wow.
Time is flying by.
Yeah, and the more that we open ourselves up to be used by God with his people, that's when the voice of God begins to expand and we mature in it. And, you know, people think they're going to mature in the voice of God by just sitting around and going to church and praying, you know. Nothing wrong with that, but the maturity and the clarity of the voice of God, it'll transition. Like with me, it transitioned from one realm to another realm, and then I would stay in that realm for a while, and then I'd go to another realm. And then all of a sudden, He starts showing me dreams and visions and writing things out before me at night, giving me names of, like, the, when he gave me the name of the Antichrist. He wrote that out in front of me. I mean, I've had words fly down from the sky and fly right in front of me and tell me certain things, to go study certain things. And so all these different realms of the voice of God, and it's all because, you know, I had a heart to serve God's people. And then you position yourself as a servant to wash the people's feet. And when you do that, you enter into what is called the great realm, you know, because he said the greatest are those who serve it. So you enter into the great realm, greater signs, greater miracles. You enter into that place of, you know, of the greater sign. And people don't realize how that happens. It comes to serving. You know, you put that towel around you and you decide you're going to serve God and wash the people's feet and do whatever God tells you to do. And you open yourself up to that, what Jesus said, that the servants are the greatest. You enter to that, to the greater realm, you know, greater miracles, greater signs, greater grace. Anyway, all that stuff.
It's always exciting. Yeah, like I said, the last year, it seems like he's done, instead of giving me dreams to lead me as much, he's teaching me more to listen to him, you know, like more that he can whisper to me and not have to shout at me. You know, that he can whisper and I'll recognize his voice more easily.
Oh, yeah.
And not always think that, oh, that's just my thought or this or that. He's teaching me. I mean, he's teaching me. I'm growing. I'm learning. Still got a lot more to go, but he is teaching me, and I'm recognizing. And a lot of times it seems like that's part of it is recognizing that, oh, that's God's voice, and it's not just my thought.
Exactly.
Things like that.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what I'm talking about. That's a better way to say it. You're recognizing, once you start working and serving and just do something to serve God's people, God's not going to just, he can bless you only so much before you start serving. Once you start serving, whether it's just, you know, your family or whatever, when you're serving people at whatever level, that's when God begins to open up, okay, you're going to serve me, then I'm going to give you something for my people. And that's when, like I said, that's when you enter into the great. And it is. It's all learning to recognize. That's what happened to me. I started recognizing all the different ways God was trying to speak to me. Because sometimes I'd be afraid to say anything. I'd see a picture on a wall. You know, I'd be in a meeting somewhere, wherever I was at. It was in Romania or Georgia, the country Georgia. Wherever I'm at, he would just begin to, like I was in, I was doing some meetings, and we were helping build a church in Georgia, you know, right next to Russia. not Georgia, mm-hmm. not Georgia in America, but Georgia right next to Russia. We were building a church there, and in the process of doing that, somebody had one of our team fell off into that rebar sticking up, and you put concrete in it, and then build a wall. And somebody had fallen down into that, and what it did is it poked a hole in their rib. The rebar went through their rib. And we're sitting there watching this guy at the bottom of this thing with that rebar sticking through his rib. I mean, they had to pull him off of it. It was scary. So that night,
impaled on
it. Just to show you. Pardon me?
Said impaled on it. In other words.
Yeah, he landed on it. We thought he was going to die. We thought he'd be dead. We were freaking out. The pastor and I. It was about a 1,200 member church, maybe a little bit more than that. That I was going to at the time, and I was with them on a trip, and I was he knew I was a prophet, and so we were there, and after that guy got that through his rib, that next night, you gotta watch this, man, this is crazy. Everybody knew about the rib thing, right? Everybody knew he fell. Everybody knew that thing punctured his side in his rib. And so that night during the meeting, all of a sudden the Spirit of God says, Randy, tell these people that they have birthed a church today, because the spear has speared the side, like with Jesus when the soldier pierced the side and the blood came out. He said, "Tell them that a church has been birthed out of this devastating situation." And I'm telling you, girl, those people went crazy with that. They said, oh, my God. Because it gave them something fresh that was devastating, that they thought the guy was dead. He was our team member from Dallas. And, I mean, it was horrible. And here the Lord says, I wasn't going to do it at first. God, I can't talk about that. I can't give a word about that. That was a devastating. I can't take advantage of that. He said, you're not taking advantage of it, Randy. I am. Tell them. Just tell them. That today, the day that Jesus pierced, his side was pierced, and the blood came gushing out, the blood in the water. He said, that's when the church of Jesus Christ was born in the earth. Tell them that a church has been born. And I told him that, girl, and I mean, we just, when I got through, I went, oh, God, they're gonna stone me or something. I mean, they're going to just like, that was bad, Randy. You shouldn't have said that. But it didn't. It hit them so hard. They started weeping, girl. It was amazing. These Georgian people who had been persecuted and all kinds of things, they began to weep because it was a word from God. But that's one of the ways God spoke to me. He said, just don't be ashamed to use that, just tell them what I say. Don't tell them what you say. Tell them what I say. And, girl, that's one of the many, 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 many ways that God has spoken to me in his voice.
That's amazing.
Anyway.
That's amazing. And amazing that that guy did okay after having something as nasty as rebar go through his side.
Yeah, he did fine. We saw him. We were sitting there looking at him. Everybody did. Because we were carrying this great big wooden truss. I mean, the truss was the width of the whole church, and the church was wide. So we had about 15, 20 men. And I was one of them carrying that truss, and that's when he was one of the ones carrying it, and slipped and fell right down into that rebar, and we freaked. We go, oh my God, he's dead. But he ended up being just fine, almost as though nothing happened to him. And he was a friend of mine from Dallas. It was just mind boggling. And then that night, the Lord says, prophesy with that. I'm going like, God, these people are going to stone me if I do that. But they didn't. It was just they began to weep because it was so emotional. It was so mental. It's like God took advantage of it because they were so sensitive about what went on. This is going on, and the blood was shed in their church, in their building, their brand-new building.
That's amazing. Yeah, and the correlation there of being like Jesus when he was pierced in his side, the blood and the water. But yeah, something like that see happening when a church is being built, they would think, oh, that's terrible to have that happen with this. But God's something. And it's amazing he was okay, because rebar is filthy. It always seems to have a little coating on it almost.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, it was brand new, but still, like you said, yeah, it's that rebar is, you know, it's just dirty. They cleaned him up, and
yeah.
I mean, I knew the guy personally. I mean, we were all friends. We all went to the same church, and so it was, and it goes. The story kind of goes on, but I don't want to go on with it. But I mean, it was so emotional. It was so deep that because it was so sensitive, the word of the Lord went deeper than had it been something else, you know. And I almost didn't do it,
exactly.
Jeannie, because I felt so. I can't do that. That's my friend.
Right.
I mean, these people they were saddened by this. They felt guilty because we're helping them build a church, and an American person who was there to help them, you know, almost died. And it's like, and here I am using it. The Lord said, use it as a word. It was like. I'd never seen anything like that in my life, but that's just one of many examples, you know, of how God speaks to me and many times it's when, like when they were in Egypt and they told them to go get the money right when the dead children were the firstborn were laying right there in the living room. God says, go get it now. Go get it now. 'Cause if you don't get it now, tomorrow they're going to go, maybe that was just an accident. But God said, go now. Move in there, knock on the door, and ask for the gold and the silver. It sounded harsh. It sounded horrible, but God has a reason for the things he does when he tells us to do it.
Yeah, he does. He does. Yeah, that was the opportune moment to move. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the prayer. Thank you for
okay.
the word. And enjoyed the conversation with you. I know there's other people want to talk to you, so.
All right. Thank you. We love you guys. Tell Halsey we said hello.
I will. Love y'all, too.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. 200, you want to talk to your friend, please?
Hi, Randy. This is Donald and Tanya. Tanya and Donald.
Don and Tanya. Hey, y'all. Tanya and is it Tanya and Donald or Donald and Tanya?
Well, I switch it tonight.
Okay, thank you. It always sounds really good. All right.
Yes.
However it is, it's good. All right, let's pray for you. I'm going to mute you for a second. Let's hang on here, Donald and Tanya, or Tanya and Donald, and it should be correctly said. Thank you, Lord. Hang on a second here. I'm getting your text. Okay. All right. Yes, I see you. I see you, Sharon. I see that you did get knocked off. Okay, got you there. All right, so Tanya and Donald tonight. Lord, we thank you for Tanya and Donald. We thank you for vision. Lord, we thank you for, like, Abraham and Sarah tonight, that word about Abraham and Sarah, the process of things, how they work. You're teaching Tanya and Donald the process of how things work, God. It's not always exactly how we think, like, you know, in their particular situation, if you know the testimony behind it, January the 4th, 2022, the year of treasures opens up with, you know, you're not going to be living off somebody else's salary. You're going to have your own sources. And then 2 weeks later, their job was like, Donald's job was like gone, you know. And what a way to awaken to the year of treasures, right? But at the same time, you know, we start seeing how God works, how he deals with things, how he, you know, sometimes has to push us, sometimes how he has to, he knows we're ready when we don't know we're ready. Sometimes we don't see the work that God's doing in our life, but he does. And just like with Abraham and Sarah, he knew that they were ready. He knew that when the time came, they would be ready. So Abraham and Sarah tonight, I don't know if you're able to hear the message or not, but the process of how things work and how God began to show Abraham and Sarah, you know, yeah, you don't have a child yet, but look what I just did. I just blessed you with wealth through, you know, the fact that Sarah, how beautiful Sarah was, and that they were, you think I didn't send you there for a reason? I sent you there knowing that they would want her, knowing that they would want her, knowing that you would say that's your brother and your sister, knowing that, and also knowing that I would plague them and that, even before I plagued them, I had him bless you. I mean, he gave you resources. He gave you cattle and livestock and that before I ever cursed them. And then once the plague came and they couldn't have children anymore, then he even blessed you more. So you walked out. You think I didn't set that up? saith the Lord? I set all that up, but it didn't look like it was. It looked like they were going to kill Abraham, take Sarah. You know, it was going to be a disaster, and that disaster ended up being a blessing. And I thank you, Lord, for the processes that you're teaching us about. You're teaching Donald, Tanya and Donald about the processes of how you do things, how you work things, and that we can have confidence in you, have confidence in your word, have confidence in the fact that even though we don't know what's going on, we think we know what's going on, but really, most of the time, we only have a little bit of understanding, and how gracious you are to lead us and guide us and do things in spite of you know, where we're at, because you know we're growing. You know we're learning. You know that you have far greater things for Tanya and Donald than they've ever even dreamed or even imagined. So thank you, Lord, for opening up their faith, opening up their hearts, and teaching them to trust you in new levels, just like you did Abraham. Abraham said, oh, yeah, I trust God. Of course I do. But tell them that you're my sister, right? And so God worked in all their frailty, even though it was partially true. He worked in all their frailty, all their doubts, all their, you know, they were doubters, but they just really couldn't hardly see how you're going to protect them with this big Pharaoh guy. I mean, this is overwhelming. How are you going to protect us against him? He owns this joint. I mean, they're ruling the world at the time. I mean, they were huge, and you're gonna bless us. I mean, it just didn't make any sense. And yet God turned around and blessed them and showed them that he was with them. And they got it. They got it, man. They got it. And they were able to go to the next level. They walked out of that place with wealth, with blessing, without Sarah being touched, and with God showing them, hey, guess what? I'm with you even when you don't know it. I'm blessing you even when you don't know it. And it's a glorious thing. And they, guess what? They grew through that. They didn't doubt as much. They begin to grow. They begin to learn. They're going, yes, God, you're with us. So, amen. All right. So, Donald, Tanya and Donald, what are y'all doing over there in Florida?
You're doing good.
What's going on, Randy?
Hey, man, just add it tonight. It's Monday night. It's Valentine's Day. That's what it is. Is that why yeah. Tanya got on first tonight, because it's Valentine's Day?
I think so. I think
she took full advantage of it, didn't she?
Yeah, I think so.
Good girl. Yeah. Anyway, so what's going on your way? What are y'all doing? What's up? You guys have been through. You got anything you want to share about, you know, what went on January the 4th and after that, and anything new, anything you're ready to share? You can share. If there's nothing to share, it's no big deal. What's up?
Yeah, well, we still waiting for the testimony. This was an on-time prophecy. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible, the stories of, you know, story of Abraham and his wife. So, you know, we just trust in God, just believing. Yeah, one of my favorite stories. So each time I hear about it, I said, okay, God, I'm, you know, no matter what, I'm still going to keep the faith. We're still going to keep going. We're still going to keep the faith. So we just trust in God. You know, it's not easy.
It's not.
Waiting. but we believe God has a great plan. So we just can't wait for, we know this is our season. We know this is seasons of open doors. So we just can't wait to just call one of these days and just say, hey, Randy, you know, this is what God has done. So we're just waiting for our time to testify.
Man, everything been all right, been good, and just like you said, it just feels like you know, God is just working things out, and at the same time, working on in the our inner self, and you know, I've been getting, of course, closer with God and talking to Him. In a more open way. So it's been good. I know God is doing something. He's, you know, it's like a process, and just watching it develop. And but you know, I'm sort of liking the moment, and you know, it is you have your different emotions that you go through with it, but I'm just basically, I think what God is showing me through this particular time is really faith in Him, nothing else, you know, nothing else that comes with it, none of the, you know, the words and prophecies, those are great. Even, you know, your job is great. Everything that you have around you, they all are good. But it's like God is just bringing me back to the basics, and just have faith in Him, the creator of this whole world, the creator of our lives. And just to really focus on him himself, and not what He can do for us, or not what, you know, because sometimes we get caught up in, oh, God, if you do this for me, then, you know, I'll be at ease. Or if you do this for me, I'll be calm, and, you know, whatever the case may be. And really, yeah. It's you know, He's just teaching me, like, not really, of course, yeah, we always ask Him to do something, but not to have faith in what He can actually do, but just Him, just God the being, and just being comforted in knowing that, man, this is the creator of the world. You know, just to have faith in Him, really, because it's just, you know, I might be asking God, man, I need you to do it this way, and, you know, God has another way of doing it. And
yeah,
he's just teaching me just to, you know, just rely on the you know, the manna process is there for a reason. And when the children of Israel, you know, they got tired of that process. They got tired of, you know, they already knew that, okay, yes, just at the moment that we need, God is going to come through. And He always showed them that, yeah, I'm going to come through. Just worry about today. And I'm always, and they got tired of that process, and they just wanted, you know, the abundance. They wanted more, you know, they wanted more, and they wanted to grow and mature, but they weren't ready. And, you know, I think just through this process, God is just showing me, like, you know, master this level first. Master this level, this basic level of just having faith in the provision for the day-to-day, and where now you can move into the abundance and everything else. But you have to master this level. You have to get comfortable in this level, and knowing that you might not have the answer for, who knows, next week or next month or whatever the case may be, but you have to get to a level of peace and just having faith in who God is, and, you know, just Him. And
okay,
just
so
know that He's going to
tell people. Let's tell people what went on. Some people are listening for the first time, or maybe they didn't get in on what happened to you guys. Tell us a little bit about what happened. I think you said we prophesied over you January the 4th or something, and gave some word. Talk about that and kind of tell people what you're talking about. Some people don't have a clue what you're talking about, so tell them that if you would.
Okay.
And then what happened on a couple of weeks later?
Well, January 4th, I called in, and then we were prophesying. You're praying over us, and then the word that you gave was that, you know, that eventually. Well, the word that you gave was that I was going to be basically not working for someone. I'm going to be, like, taken away from that. I don't have the word, the exact thing in front of me now, but basically I wasn't going to be working for man, you know, the rest of my life. You know, eventually, like, God's going to take me away from that, and where I could have my own. He's going to provide, like, the own resource, and now, whether it's going to be, you didn't know how, but whether it might be our own business or whatever the case may be, but, you know, it's not going to be the way it was going before. It was not going to be like that as far as me working for somebody, you know.
You're not going to be able to get somebody else's salary, I think. Something about a salary,
yeah.
I think, is what you said.
Yeah, and God was going to provide, like, a new resource, like His own resource. And, you know, that was the word that was prophesied on the 4th. And probably like 2 weeks later, the 19th actually, exactly. The 19th is, you know, when they called me in and they said, you know, I got laid off. And, you know, automatically I went right back to that word that was given. And, you know, so that's basically, you know, that's basically what happened. You know, they on 19, I got laid
you were
off,
totally,
and,
you were totally caught, you were totally caught off guard, right? You didn't have a clue that was going to happen.
No, I didn't. So they called me in, and you know, and then I just went right back to that word because I said, man, I know. I think that was the latest word that you had gave me. So I went back, listened to it, and you know, wrote it down, and I said, man, this is exactly. It was exactly what you were talking about.
Yeah.
Well, even, you know.
So part of the teaching we did last week on 1 Timothy 1:18 says, Timothy, my son, or Tanya and Donald, my children, go back and reread and meditate on the prophecy that you had gotten so you could fight a good warfare. Yeah. So that's kind of what you began to do, I guess, sounds like.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah, that's exactly what I want to do. I just went, you know, read the prophecy, you know, meditated on it, let it comfort me, and, you know, give me the strength, give me the confidence, and, you know,
so
that's
what was it saying to you when you read that, when you read that prophecy? I hate to interrupt you, but I want to make some points here.
No, go ahead.
So when you reread that prophecy after you got laid off that day, what was that prophecy saying to you that God was warning you, he was trying to let you know ahead of time? What was going through your head that the word meant?
Well, for me personally, what it was, things are in motion. Things are, you know, in motion, right? Things are, you know, moving. Things are moving, and the word was just the initial, you know, that was just the initial, and now the action came behind it as far as, okay, this is things are moving, you know, God spoke the word and
fast
things are moving. And it might be seen in a negative way, but I looked at it like, oh man, okay here we go, like, you know, things are moving, and you know, and that's yeah, that's it. It just sparked it, and
yeah, so
you
it,
know, just
it opened you up to it sounds like it might have. I don't know what it did to you. I'm just telling you what I would guess. But the fact that it said that you're not going to be under somebody else's salary, that's not how you're going to prosper, or however it was, it said that you're going to have your own resources. So it had to make you think. I would think it would make you think that maybe we're heading toward our new resource, possibly.
No, exactly.
Business.
Yeah, because that's always been a goal, and you know, just even in the process of getting laid off, it's just how I felt in the moment, and I don't know, I just felt I felt relief. I felt like a weight was off of me. I felt excited, and you know, so I know all those emotions and things that I was feeling, I know that was God. You know, because that's not a natural, that wasn't a natural reaction to how I was feeling after getting laid off. So just the word is just, it went hand in hand as far as what I was going through and what I'm currently going through at the moment. It goes hand in hand. It's like, you know, God gives the word to build up our spirit. And then, you know, things happen. Now we have the action. But it's like the word is there. Like, God already knew. It's like God is already, he's on the job. You know, he's taking care of things. Things are going on. Like, God is already, he's already, like, gave the warning. And he already gave the comfort that, you know, he's in it. Things are going on. It didn't just happen like that. It's for a reason, and we might not know. We might not know the reason. We might not know how things are going to play out. But just the fact that, and it goes back to what I said earlier. Just the fact that, all right, I have faith in God. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how things are going to play out, but I have faith in God, and God is already letting me know that. Hey, I'm in it. I'm in this. Like, I already let you know ahead of time that this was gonna happen. But it's just the reason why things are happening. And God is trying to move me to another place. And this is just how it had to be done, you know. So
yeah, the gracious thing about it is that he kind of gave you a bit of a warning. He didn't say you were going to lose your job, but he said you're not going to be under. I think you said the word. I remember some of it was that about being under another man's salary. Wasn't it something like that? Another man's salary? Wasn't that the words?
Yeah, let me.
Is that correct? Yeah, get
yeah,
out
just
there if you don't mind.
Let's
look at exactly, if you don't mind. We can look at exactly what it is because I don't remember either exactly.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you.
One second, Randy. Please.
No problem. Just take time. Yeah, while he's looking that up, I want to say, you know, you have to understand, Donald and Tanya have three children. They just don't, they're just not married. And they got three kids. They just had another, beautiful baby, three baby boys. Yeah. And, so this is not exactly, you know, the dreamland. Oh, guess what? I lost my job. Oh, hallelujah. It's like, even though God says stuff like that, it's we're talking about real life, man. We're talking about, you know, am I going down? Am I going up? What's going on? And how the Lord, you know, around two weeks earlier, had spoken to him that you're not going to be under another man's salary. Well, he can look at the word up here in a second. We're going to get exactly what was said.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
something
I got
about
it. Yeah.
Being under another man's salary. Go ahead.
Said, you're moving from a season of depending on other people to pay you a paycheck and to having your own resource. So it says, I'll just read the whole
paycheck.
Thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, it says you're moving from depending on other people to pay you a paycheck to having your own resource. The only way you're going to prosper the way God wants you to prosper is to be out from underneath them. You are under tutors and governors receiving paychecks from other people, and you're going to be limited with that. There's limits with that. So God is going to bring you out of that to somehow have your own resource, your own business, where you don't depend on other people. And whether they think you're good enough, smart enough, or big enough, but it's not up to them anymore. Yeah, that word was just, it was just on point, like exactly pinpoint to exactly what happened, you know, and
woo!
Yeah, so
wow,
and even I think we spoke about that last time that I wasn't the one that was gonna up and leave and quit, and God knows, like,
well,
God knows.
Let's talk
like,
about that for a second. Let's talk about that for a second. And when you started telling me your testimony, how that I gave you that word about being under somebody else's payroll. That I said, hang on a second, Donald. I said, I didn't tell you this other part. I said, I also, when I was giving you that word, I knew that you weren't gonna quit on your own. In other words, you weren't gonna quit your job on your own. And you kind of said, I remember you kind of went like, "What did you just say?" I thought maybe I didn't know why you asked me that. You said, I think you said something like, "I just told Tanya that very thing." I think maybe that day or remind me of how that went.
You were saying that, and then I was stopping you because I was like, I was trying to make sure. I was like, because you were saying that. Yeah, I sort of had the feeling that you want to do it by yourself. And I was like, what did you say, Randy? Yeah, because that was exactly right. Because I told Tanya that actually, the day they let me go, we were just having a conversation. And I was just saying, I said, man, they got to let me go because I said, there's no way I'm just going to up and leave. And so when you said that, I said, yeah, you're right. I was never going to do that, you know. And
because you're being a responsible man, a responsible father, a responsible husband. You know, you're not some flake who just kind of jumps out there and decides you're going to go out and do your own thing. So, yeah, so it was pretty cool when I said, the Lord showed me that you weren't going to quit on your own, and you kind of stopped me. You kind of like, I said, what's he stopping me for? I couldn't figure that out. He said, I just told Tanya that like a couple of days ago or whenever it was. And I went,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it was exactly how you said it, everything. And God knows, man, it just, think about going through, life situation when you have God on your side, and you really have God on your side, because I know both ways. I know, you know, going through stuff without having God or knowing if he's there or not, and I know this way of going through it with him, and it's just something else. I can't even fully explain it or put words to it, but it's just something else.
Yeah.
It's just a faith, confidence, and just like Tanya said, it's not easy, the day-to-day process. But like I said,
sure.
God is always he's always in the teaching business as we go through this, as we go through these situations. And like I said, what I'm learning more in this season is just I'm just trusting in God and who he is, like God, like not really, because a lot of times I usually, you know, I play history and I go back. I said, well, God did this last time and he did that last time. But it's like this time around, he got me more focused on just him, just knowing and having the full assurance of him. You know, don't have to really figure out, like, but how he's going to do it. Well, he did it like this last time, so, you know, whatever. It's just, I'm not even thinking about it. I'm just like, hey, I just have full confidence in God. And, and I think it's, I can't really explain. I think you understand what I'm saying, but I can't really explain it. But it's when somebody say like, yeah, what you talk about? Yeah, you have faith. And yeah, I do have faith, but it's like God is just showing me how to have more, like just God, just him, just have that faith in him.
Yeah.
And not necessarily on, man, if God gives me this amount of money, I'll be all right. I'll be good. I'll be all whatever. If God give me this job, I'll be, it's like, I'm not. It's not the job. It's not the finance. It's not this. It's whatever the case may be, God's going to handle it. And he might handle it however he handles it. He might just give me fish or whatever. I don't know. You know, you never know with God. So it's just, trust in him. You know, he just does his thing just differently. And every time is a different, he does it differently. So you can never, try to come up with a way that, man, if he does this, this is what I need, God, and, you know, I'll be all right. It's like, no, God, just looking toward you, and you do what's best. You got to do what's best. And,
yeah, it turns you into a daily process. It's like, you know, the every need is different. You know, the need you had when you guys were buying a house, that was one thing. And the way he did the stuff there was one thing. And then you, right now, you're looking at a whole situation. You know, you're looking at having a job. You got three kids. You got bills. You got things to take care of. And it's like, you know, God is working more into your, like he did with Abraham and Sarah, where he, you know, he said, man, I'm going to bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And little did he realize that even though Pharaoh didn't really do anything wrong to curse him, he wasn't saying, like, I'm going to take your wife away, you sorry Jew. You know, he didn't do that. It was like, you know, this is your sister, right? Yeah. Well, you know, we're going to bless you. He gave him some money, gave him some cattle, and takes off with Sarah and gets her into the kingdom. And she's like, you know, she's like big time, man. Here, little old Abraham is out there, got a few little blessings going on, but his wife is like in the harem of the king, you know. It's like, oh my God, what's going to happen to her? Am I going to lose her? What's happening? He didn't have a clue what was going to go on. And every day he's probably waking up going, you know, am I ever going to see Sarah again? I mean, why did I tell him she was my sister? Blah, 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 to save my life. And I'm sure he felt guilty about saying, you know, I was afraid. I didn't trust you, God. And he started going through all the, it was not easy for him. And it wasn't easy for Sarah. Sarah's going like, oh, my God, they got me here. I can't get out. What am I going to do? And little did they realize when God started plaguing the household of Pharaoh, they didn't know what was going on. It took a little while for that to work. It had to be months because, you know, to bear children, it takes 9 months to bear a child, right? You get pregnant and you bear a child.
Yep.
Well, nobody was having children. They're going like, nobody's having children. Let's see what's going on. And God shows up and gave him a vision and said, you know, Abraham is a prophet, and you're messing with his woman, you know? And so even though Abraham was wrong in what he did, so to speak, Pharaoh turned around and said, man, I'm going to give you more cattle, more sheep, more servants. He gave him servants. He gave him she servants. He just blessed him, man. He walked out of there loaded up. And who would have ever thought that was going to happen? They sure didn't have that planned out. That sure wasn't like part of it. But God was meeting their daily needs. He started meeting their needs. And little did they realize what was going on behind closed doors. Abraham's over here worrying about what Sarah's in the kingdom. Oh my God. I mean, I know those people are going to want her. They're going to want her because she's beautiful. God, can you protect her? Can you keep her? I mean, I'm sorry I told her that she was my sister. Now they've got her in there. And now, it's, you know, what am I going to do? You know, and I'm sure that he was very concerned about it because he wasn't fully trusting God yet. He was learning. He was growing just like us. And so what did God do the whole time? God says, don't worry, Abraham. I got it all under control. None of Pharaoh's servants are going to be able to have babies. And I'm going to show up and I'm going to tell him why he's not having babies. And then it's going to turn around and I'm going to bless you with that. Who would have ever thought that? Nobody. Abraham didn't have a clue. He was a worrywart. He was like at first, you know, he was concerned, you know, because that's the way it is. That's the way we all start out. Then you learn. You learn to depend on the word of the Lord. You know, we learn to say when God says he's going to do something, we don't understand it. We don't know how it's going to work out. We don't worry quite as much as we did before. Like Abraham really worried about Sarah, and Sarah probably worried about whether she was ever going to get out and blah, blah, blah. And yet the whole time God had it under control, but they couldn't see it. So they did get worried and concerned. So what? That's part of the process. And then every time we see God come through, then we worry a little less. Then we get a little bit less concerned. Pretty soon you're offering up your own child because God says, offer up your child. You're going, okay, here I go. When before, if God would have asked that, he would have said, no, I can't do that. No, that's too much to ask. But God built him the process of faith little by little by little by little by little, in spite of his doubts, in spite of his half-truths, all that stuff. God knew that he was going to struggle, just like he knows y'all are going to struggle, just like I struggle. So it's all cool, man.
Yeah. And, another thing God been showing me, it's like just today, that I was just thinking, and, you know, this goes for anybody that's listening and just anybody walking with God. Or sometimes, let's say you're going through, a hard time or a tribulation, and you end up pressing into God even more. And sometimes the devil will make you feel a little guilty. That's why, okay, you know, you're going through a situation. Now you're praying more or you're seeking God more or whatever. You're seeking his face more. But what God revealed to me is like, you know, it's like pressure. You know, when you get pressure, what's in you, that's what comes out. You know, what's hidden in you comes out. So somebody might be pressured and they go a different route. They go a different way. They don't rely on God or they do something else. Where you're pressured and this is what's coming out. This is what's coming out of you where you're going to what you truly know and what's truly inside of you, which is you're seeking God more. Because sometimes you might feel guilty about that. You might be like, man, like I'm going through this, and now I'm pressing in harder. Now I'm going in. I'm really chasing God. I'm really, and sometimes God does that to push that out of you, you know. And where some it might be someone else, and go a different route. They don't even look towards God. So, you know, just for anybody, it's like you shouldn't feel guilty about that because I think just like the pressure that's being applied to you, and it's that real you, that thing that's inside of you, that's what comes out. That's what's coming out. Whether it's you that your first instinct is, man, I got to go to my father. I got to press in. that's the real you. That's the real, that's the thing that God was trying to press out of you anyway. You know?
So some people, what you're saying is that sometimes when people have a hard time, the devil tells them, oh yeah, you should have been praying like this before. How come you weren't praying like this already? What's wrong with you? You're a carnal.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
a believer. You know, like that's what you're saying. That happens to a lot of people. Oh, now you start praying. Yeah, you coward, you wimp. You worthless piece of trash. But what you said, what you're saying is that what it reveals in you is that, hey, when I'm having a problem, I go to God. Yeah, I might not have been going to him like I am right now, but I'm going to God. I'm not going to run away from him. I'm running like Adam and Eve did. They ran away from God. No, we're going to you're saying that the real you is I'm going to seek God. I don't care what you say, devil. I don't care how you try to shame me.
Yeah.
I'm seeking after God, which reveals your heart.
Yeah. And that goes for anybody that's like, let's say somebody is they're not saved. They're not saved, or they might have been brought up probably in church, or been somebody talked to them about God before, and they were never saved. They never took God serious. And then when something serious happened, then they're running to God. They're seeking God. They're asking God, God, reveal yourself to me, or whatever. And it just God was just showing me that that's the seed. It's like how they talk about in the Bible. They say bring up your child in the way that they should go. And then, then they will not depart. And there's a seed that's planted that you have in you. And it's like when the pressure comes, that seed, it grows. So it just depends what type of seed that you do have. Some people might have something else in them. Some people might feel like, man, it's pressure. I got to go rob some store or something like that.
Or get drunk, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, exactly. Like some pressure. It might send you to do drugs. It might send you to, do whatever it is. It's just that whatever is in you, the pressure that God brings or the world brings or whatever it may be, what was in you already, And so that's what he was just showing me today. Just like, just the pressure. The pressure, it reveals what's in you, sometimes people need pressure applied to them more than others. But just that point that, that he showed me today, just that, and that just goes, that just for anybody that's out there, don't feel condemned or anything like that. If there's certain times that you go to God more than others, but the fact that your first instinct is to, go to God, is to pray, is to knock on his door, that's a great sign. That's a great sign that there's a seed, there's a seed that was planted in you, and the real you is coming out, the real spirit, that's the spirit side of you that's coming out, and that's going to the Father, that's the first instinct to run to, instead of something else.
Which is why God said that David had a heart after him. Look at all what David did, man. Not only did he commit adultery, but he had his adulterous affair's wife, her husband killed on purpose.
Yeah.
And tried to hide everything and cover it all up. And yet when he got it right, what did he do? He got it right with God. I mean, he could have denied it. He could have had the prophet killed when Nathan came and told him, hey man, he told him a little parable about somebody who had one sheep and the neighbor who had 1,000 sheep, and then he came over and got his sheep, and he said, David got mad. He said, they need to kill that guy. He said, sir, that's you. You're the one who did that.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, oh my God, it's like it nailed him, man. And he, instead of turning to, killing the prophet and getting rid of the bad news giver, and Nathan also told him, he said, the sword's never going to leave your family. The sword is never going to leave your family from now on. And even though David turned around and he had a reputation from God as having a heart after God, he still told him, he said, the sword's never going to leave your family because I've given you favor. Mm. You took advantage of that favor. You had a man, you not only committed adultery with that favor, but you used that favor to kill her husband on purpose and then try to cover it up. He said, I love you. You have a heart after me, but you just lost your favor, and which we have prophesied that about Marcus Lamb, about Jimmy Swaggart, that they still love God, they still got right with God, but they're never going to have that favor again. And that's
yep.
scary. And so we need the reason that we need to talk about that stuff is because we need to warn people, man, once you get the favor of God and then you start doing whatever you want, then that's
yeah.
going to cost
yeah.
you. It's going to cost you. The sword yeah. may never leave your house, because once you have that favor and you use that favor to get your own way, to be selfish, and to, you know, from committing adultery to stealing and cheating, lying, whatever you do. But, you know, the beautiful thing is that David did have, he could have gone a lot of different directions, but he chose to receive the prophet's word. He took it as a correction from God, and he went on with God. Though the sword never left his household, he still went
yeah.
on with God and had a reputation for having a heart for God. So, you know, there's so much to learn from in all this stuff, man. We're not perfect. Thing is if you mess up if you use God's favor to get your evil way or your selfish way or whatever, that's what's going to cost you. God will forgive you, but once you do that and you use that favor for your own selfish ways, then boom, you move to a whole other level. Even though he forgives you, you still, he does it, and you see it through the years with all the different men of God, even in our generation, that have lost the favor of God once they took advantage of that favor and used that favor to get their own selfish way. So it's a warning to us to don't just kind of think because you got favor you can do whatever you want, because you will lose that favor, and it will ruin what God wants to do in your life.
Yeah, and almost next to losing like your salvation and anything like that, that's scary right there. Cause
that's scary.
You're not losing your salvation, but that's the closest thing. Thing while you're on earth to it, to having that favor with God, and you know, it's like you living, but there's a lot of suffering and a lot of cost that comes with it, and you have to pay that cost. And in a sense, that's the same thing that happened with me when I had got locked up, because even though I changed, and that's the conversation I was having with God at the time. I was like, man, God, I changed, like, you know, why I got to go through this?
Sure.
Well, you know, they had a lot of questions. And, you know, what God showed me is, you know, that you know, when you do something, you got to pay the cost. You got to pay the cost. Like, yeah, he could have forgive you, but God is a just God. And you do something, there's consequences that come with it. And he doesn't necessarily move the consequences that you have to go and deal with. You know, he'll get you through certain things. He'll be with you, but there's things that you're going to have to deal with and pay back the consequences. And David, because of what he did, even though he got right with God, but there's consequences that come with it. And God wouldn't be just if he just erased those things and just say, all right, let's forget about it. And no, these are the things that comes with it, that comes with what you did, you know. And
It's one of the ways that God deals with things. I don't understand it. You'd think that he could move past that. But for whatever reason, it's like when you do that, once you do that to God, and you do that to God, even though he forgives you and loves you, it's like he takes away that, like we talked about this with Marcus Lamb. You know, I mean, Marcus Lamb had a heart after God. I knew Marcus. God used him in my life. I didn't know him personally on an everyday basis, But you know, it was hard for me to prophesy that. It was hard for me to say that. But God was showing me right before he died. I talked about it on the show. I said, you know, he'll never have that favor that he had before. And even though he has a heart after God, he loves God. He's got it right with God. He loves his wife. He's a good man. One of the problems is he's a merchandiser, which is what really allowed the sword to come into his life. But at the same time, it's like, you know, it doesn't make any sense. But there's some things that God just deals with in a way that we don't understand. He did it with David, and David was probably the greatest example of somebody who he forgave and restored and had a heart after him, but yet the sword never left his house. And so we got to look at that, man. We got to preach that message and not be ashamed of it. That's one reason I think God had me prophesying that and preaching that right before Marcus died, so we could use that, so God could use that as an example of what to do and what not to do. He didn't just say, oh, let's cover all that up and not use it. Or he would have done it with David. He would have covered all that up with David and said, we're not going to talk about that because that's too sensitive. oh, that's too, he got right with God. How dare you talk about things? No, God doesn't look at it like that, my brother. And a lot of people have jumped on me and have criticized me and condemned me for speaking plainly and about all this stuff. Even though I love Marcus, Marcus was a good man. I mean, he was sold after God, but he did some things. Plus, the merchandising thing was the main thing, but he did some things that God just says, man, once you do that to me, you know, I forgive you, I love you, but you're never going to have that restored again. We need to preach it because of the future generations that are going to be going like, oh, yeah, well, I got favor of God. I can do whatever I want. No, you'll lose, like you said, so beautiful, you lose the very – God has given a purpose to Marcus Lamb. He's given a purpose for Randy Chandler in the earth. And that's the most precious thing that we have is God has given us a gift of life and given us a will and a purpose of what he wants to accomplish. And when we stop that and when we hinder that like Marcus did and like Jimmy Swagger did and like David did and like Moses did, when you do that, it doesn't make God happy at all because he wants his purposes fulfilled. But believe me, friend, he'll raise up a Joshua. He'll raise up somebody to do it. But he chooses you to do it. But when you mess it up, it doesn't mean that it's not going to get done. It just means that it doesn't get done with you. And that's really scary.
It is. Yeah, definitely.
And like
is.
You said, let me reiterate what you said. And I've talked about this before, too, that it's, even though you don't lose your salvation, it's right next to that because what you lose is your purpose and design that God gave you for life. It's a gift. And we have squandered that gift by doing whatever. Even though we got it right, like David did, the sword never left his house. He squandered. Just think, I don't know if David could have built the temple or not. I mean, there's a lot of different things. I've studied this big time. Why didn't David be able to build the temple? You know, and I know it says he had blood on his hands, but let me tell you this, man. This is the things I think about. Had blood on his hands? What was he talking about? Because he was a warrior. Who's he a warrior for? The devil?
God.
Of God. He was a warrior for God. So he got blood. He got God's enemy's blood on his hand, and God's not going to let him build the temple because he had God's enemy's blood on his hands? God told him to do that stuff. God was with him in that stuff. So how can we turn around and say, oh, he had blood on his hands? Like he did something wrong, like he was a bloody man. No, he was a man of God who fought God's enemies, and the blood he had on his hands was because God told him to go do that. So I honestly, I don't know, I can't prove it, but I honestly think that the blood he had on his hands was the blood of Bathsheba's husband. I think that's the blood he's talking about. I don't know. I can't prove it because I've studied it. I've looked, and the reason God didn't let him build a temple because it was God, I believe it was God's will for David to build the temple. That's what I personally think. It was his purpose. But when he got that blood on his hands of murdering the adulterous affair woman that he had an affair with, and then had her husband murdered on purpose, that blood right there was enough. As God said later, the sword's never going to leave your house. So what was part of the sword? I think the sword was to stop him from building the temple. Because you got blood on your hands. How can you compare the blood of a warrior fighting God's battles for him, we'll put upon the Philistines, anointing him with the anointing to kill those Philistines, and then turn around and say, you know, that was bad. You're a bad boy because you got blood on your hands. No, I don't think that was it. I think it was because of the blood of Bathsheba's husband. But I can't prove that in Scripture. But I can come real close to it, and I'm real close to just talking about it anyway like I am right now, but it's a big warning to us on how that we can, you know, like you said, it's not like losing, you don't lose your salvation, but you lose that God-designed purpose for God's will in your life. And it breaks the heart of God, and it causes him to have to rearrange and use somebody else and blah, 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 blah.
Mm. Yeah, amen. And that's a good point, because I've thought about that myself, about, yeah, he was doing the work of God, and
yeah,
you know, but he had blood on his hand. But yeah, I never thought about that point that Hey, it could be because he had killed Bathsheba, and that was one of the biggest things that God brought against him. You know, that made him lose his favor. So that's a good point. It could be that.
Thank you.
I never understood that part. I never did understand that part when it said, "Yeah, you have blood on your hand." And I used to always think, I was like, just like you said, that man, he was doing the work of God. So, you know,
yeah,
I never got that.
Yeah, because it makes it look like every Philistine he killed, he was like a bloody murderer.
Yeah,
so that's what it makes it look like. I mean, you have to look at it. I have to look at that when I look at that scripture, because I have wrestled with this, because many times I've said, I'm going to get on PGN tonight and I'm going to tell what I think about that. I'm going to tell. I can't prove it exactly, because somehow in the sovereignty of God, God knew David was going to mess that up. So it was said even before the temple, you know. But at the same time, you have to look at scripture and go, you know, he was not just out there killing Philistines just for the heck of it. He was doing it because it was God's enemies. Just like when he killed, it's like saying when he killed Goliath, oh, he had that man's blood on his hands. No, he did that to save Israel. That was God's anointing on him. So how can we dare say he had bloody hands and that's why he can't build a temple? No, I don't think that at all. I think the only thing God held against him, that he had blood on his hands, as far as a man goes, in a realm of battle and warfare, was when he had her husband killed on purpose.
Hmm.
That was blood on his hands for sure.
Hmm.
Anyway, I'm getting all stirred up. I'm liable to get off and start preaching or something, so I better get off that pretty quick. But you see what I'm talking about? Does that make sense?
No, it makes perfect sense. Yeah, like I said, I used to think about that too. And you know, regarding that blood on his hands. Because of the other actions that he did, and you know, that didn't align with God, and you know, that's why he was not able to build a temple. You know, and God passed it down. You know.
Yeah, because it said after that, it said the sword never. The prophet said, Nathan, the prophet, when he told him, you know, you're the one who took that one sheep. He said, you're the one who did that. You've murdered. You've killed. You've taken. One man who had, he had one wife. You have hundreds of wives. You could have had any kind of wife, but you took his wife. You know, and when you think about the judgment that came through the prophet, just like the judgment, and I think that came from this prophet on Marcus Lamb, it was rough. It was tough. It was like God saying, "This is what it's really like to be a prophet. You speak the word of the Lord." It doesn't matter how friendly you are with the king. It doesn't matter what the king's done for you. Prophesy what I tell you to prophesy. You speak what I tell you to speak, or I'll get somebody else. And I live with that every day. God says, if you stop letting me use you, Randy, even though I tell you things that are opposite from what everybody else is saying, why do you think I'm giving it? You need to learn to honor my word. And when I tell you these things, you need to get it out there and speak it just exactly like I say. Do it when I tell you, how I tell you, the way I tell you, and if you do that, I will bless you. If you don't, I'll remove you, and you'll go to heaven. You'll be with me in heaven, but you will not receive the full benefit and the rewards that I'm going to bless you with, that I have perfect, just like I had David. I think God wanted David to build a temple. I think that's what he wanted. I think David had a heart for the temple like nobody had a heart for the temple. I think that Solomon, I mean, not Solomon, but Moses, when Moses struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock, God said, that's it. You shamed me in front of the people. You shamed me in front of the people, just like what Marcus did, just like what Jimmy Swagger did, just like what other people have done who had the favor of God. Well, I gave you my favor, Moses, and you shamed me in front of the people. I told you to talk to the rock, and you struck the rock, and you shamed me. If you read it, that's what it says. You shamed me in front of the people. Therefore, guess what? You're not taking them in. It's over for you. Go up to the mountain. I'm going to receive you. I love you. You're going to be always be a great man of God. The Jews are going to talk about you more than they talk about Jesus. They're going to talk about you because you're a great man. But you know what? The purpose that I had for you is now over. You will not take them in. Okay, so come up here. I want you to pick Joshua. Get Joshua to do this thing. And so this is the reality, and it still goes on. It still goes on today, and people are afraid to talk about it. They don't want to talk about that, but it's still true. And so, so as we watch this stuff happen, we're going to see, you know, the fear of God, the reverence of all and fear of God be restored to God's leadership and to God's people. That you better be careful what you do, because though you'll go to heaven, it's not about losing your salvation. You will lose the very thing that I birthed you in the earth for. You will lose that. And that's sad, and that's scary.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. I guess I better move on now. I got all worked up, and we worked that out.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, before, I was just got Tanya wanted us to pray regarding the next move. You know, we looking at different you know, business things to try to do, and we just wanted just prayer and wisdom for what is the next
move. I'm going to mute you. Thank you.
All right,
that.
Randy.
And thank you guys. We love you guys. Thank you so much. Enjoy talking. I always like, you know, sometimes I get people draw stuff out of me, and I get kind of like, moving on out there, talking about stuff that I don't normally talk about. So I really love it, enjoy it. Thank you, Lord, for your purposes, God. Thank you, Lord, for that Donald and Tanya don't get their mindset on a particular thing, but that they know that that you're going to raise up their own provision. You're going to raise that up. You're going to show that. You're going to reveal that. And that they not get their mind stuck on a certain thing or a certain way, but just be learning to be led by the Spirit. Just like, you know, just like Joseph thought that he was going to, when he said, you're going to have major resources. You're going to have greater resources than your brothers. Your brothers' resources are going to bow down to yours because you're going to be much greater of a resource person than them. You're going to save them. And then when it said the sun and moon and the stars bow down, you know, I mean, he misinterpreted all that stuff. Still came to pass. God still did it. But he had his mind made up that, you know, he was going to do all that stuff in Canaan and among his family, if the dreams were about his family. So, you know, why would I go to Egypt to be a blessing to my family? That's not gonna, he didn't have that in his mind at all. And so what happened is Joseph had to, just like you're talking about tonight, Dom, it was so perfect with what you're saying, because what happened with Joseph when he got betrayed by his brothers and thrown into the pit and taken out of Canaan, taken out of the place that he thought his vision was going to come to pass. So he had to get his eyes, just like you said tonight, so beautiful. He had to get his eyes on God and living day by day with God. Who is my God? Who's God to me? Who's God to me? Not what God can do to make me greater than my brothers or that make my brothers come bow down to me. He got his eyes off of that. And he started getting his eyes on who God was to him. And then he was misused. He was thrown in prison. And the whole time in there, what made him look better than other people was that God's favor was on him. He found that he used God's favor to do good, not take advantage of it. He didn't use God's favor to commit fornication with Potiphar's wife, right? He could have used that favor. He had favor. Look how Joseph had favor. He had favor. His Potiphar's wife. Quote, you know, like the devil always says, you'll never tell anybody, just come on. So, but he didn't use God's favor. He had God's favor. And because everybody liked him, everybody loved him. When everybody likes and everybody loves you, man, they open up everything to you. Like, come on over here, baby. You know, come on over here. I got something for you. Come over here. I got something for you. You know, and if he had God's favor, and Potiphar's wife loved him because he had God's favor. That's why she liked him, because he had God's favor. So, like others, Joseph didn't take advantage of God's favor for himself. And so he had to keep his eyes on his relationship with God. He didn't know what his business deal was going to be. He thought he knew. He thought his business deal was business with, like, what he always dreamed and always thought. He was going to grow greater crops than even his grandfather Isaac. And that wasn't the plan at all. So he had to keep his eyes on God and living day by day with God. And as God opened up the resources, one day he brought the two servants of Pharaoh, and he interpreted their dreams for them. Those dreams came to pass as he interpreted them. And pretty soon,
you know, what God was getting ready to do was set him up where the sun and the moon, the Pharaoh, who was the sun god, and Egypt, which was the moon, were all about to bow down to him. And his dream came to pass, and his business came to pass in a way where he didn't even have to grow the crops. In his dream, I think he thought he was going to grow the crops. Sometimes we think we're gonna grow, our business is to grow the crops. And it was a whole different thing. Everybody else grew the crops, and he just stored up the grain. And then his brothers came and bowed down and said, we need food, and he saved their lives. So it had nothing to do with him growing grain. That's what the dream was all about. The dream was all about his brother's grain production, you know, production of grain was bowing down to his, which made his was greater. But so he was thinking he was going to grow better crops than his brothers, more potent. But at the same time, what happened is it had nothing to do with that at all. So he had to keep his eyes, get his eyes off what he thought his business was going to do, and God opened him up to the business of letting other people grow the crops, and he store the grain, which is what he did and saved the whole world, basically. That famine was extremely destructive and far-reaching, where people came from all over the globe to Joseph. So he never grew grain, never grew crop, not once. Everybody else grew them, which is completely opposite of what he thought. So be open to that, you guys, and let God show you. Like you said, keep your eyes on who God is in your everyday life and not get your eyes on a particular thing. And I think one of the things that grieved Joseph was that he kept thinking that he needed to get back to Canaan land, and God did not want him in Canaan land. He got him locked in prison where he couldn't get out, where he had to stay there, so that eventually his dream, because if he would have got out, he would have been, first thing he would have done is headed off to go fulfill his dream of growing crops that are greater than his brother's. That's what his dream was. God said, you don't even know what you're talking about. That's not me. That's not God. I know you think that. I know you believe that. It's not true. It's going to be a whole different way. So, Lord, open them up. Keep them fresh with you, Jesus. Keep them showing them that you are the source. You are their victory. And let them watch you bring to pass as they bear witness to and have that excitement and confirmation that this is of you. We're going to do this. Amen. All right. All right. Hang on a second. All right. Sorry, 111. I was supposed to go here to 402. 402-214. Sharon from New York.
Yep. Hi, Randy. Thank you.
Well, I saw you did get dropped in line, so I texted you a while ago.
I appreciate it.
I'm taking that. You're so welcome. Okay. Let's pray for you. Thank you, Sharon, for being with us. Let's pray for you, Sharon, tonight. And thank you, Jesus, for Sharon. Father, I thank you for her broken heart, God, that you that you're not going to put the pieces back together. You want to make something brand new. You want to make new. You want to make you want to make her whole. You want to make the situations whole. You just don't want to piece things together so they barely hang together. So it kind of, you know, until it all falls apart again, and then it comes back together again. No, you're gonna behold all things are gonna become new. And I don't understand that, but I thank you, Jesus, for helping her get her eyes on the new, just like you did Joseph. Joseph had to get his eyes on the new. It was hard. It was difficult. It was a transition that was difficult. How he thought he was going to relate to his family, the whole thing, ended up being completely, completely, completely different than what he thought. So I thank you, Lord, that you're not trying to put things together and piece things together and patch things up. No, you want things to be made whole. You want things to be made new so that it can function and be powerful instead of always subject to failure, always subject to falling apart. You want to give her that confidence, God, in her heart, that when you put things together, when you think, you do a new thing. You make a whole new thing out of something. You take the ashes and you make something new out of it. You just don't take the ashes and put the ashes together. You take out of the ashes, you make something brand spanking new. All right, Sharon, so what's going on tonight? How are you? What's up?
Hi, thank you. That was very appropriate. You know, Valentine's Day, memories, you know.
Yeah.
So God was addressing that broken heart. Everything's pretty good, you know.
Good.
My health, I got to get that in order. But I did want your prayers for Dana. She's trying to get a different job, and everything is overwhelming.
Okay.
And their family's going to take a vacation, hopefully, you know, but it's very far away, and it's all scary for me. So I just wanted to pray for her, if you wouldn't mind, her and my grandkids.
Right. So what, in other words, what you're saying is you get to New York, and now your daughter's somebody getting a job somewhere else.
Well, no. It's still in the same town. It's just a new job.
Oh, okay.
You know, her job is
moving somewhere different.
The new one would be
kind
of hard, too, but, yeah. But she's dealing with such people that are, I think it's just jealousy, you know, how people get jealous and just crazy. I don't understand it, but she's so tired of it.
So,
she works so hard.
So,
that's hard work.
Yeah, so God's going to get her, maybe the word tonight, and I didn't know any of that, but, you know, maybe the word tonight, meaning God's going to do a whole new thing with her, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know how that could be. It doesn't make any sense to me, but the word of the Lord usually doesn't make any sense to me. I just kind of say it and go, okay,
right.
I just said it, so right. Whatever. So maybe somehow or another, without trying to intellectually figure it out, God may be getting ready to do a whole new thing. He's not going to try to piece together stuff just to make things work. He may give her something completely new, and it may not look new.
Right.
It may not appear new, but it could very well be something new that, because, you know, you can move into a place like kind of what happened with Pharaoh. You got a Pharaoh who loves you, and then all of a sudden you got a Pharaoh who doesn't love you. Well, it can go the other way around.
Right.
You can have a Pharaoh who doesn't love you. All of a sudden you can get a whole new set of Pharaoh Pharaoh coming in, a whole new leadership, and all of a sudden they go like, man, we love you. We like you. When the ones before, you know, were maybe jealous and maybe, you know, envious or just, and God can turn that around and make something completely new, even though it doesn't look like it right now.
That would be great. Yeah, she, you know, she keeps texting me that being an adult is hard. I said, yeah, I know.
Dana keeps texting you that?
Yeah. She texted me again tonight and said, being an adult is hard. I said, I know. But I said to her, I said, but at least you get to get away with stuff that, you know, not having to do what your mother tells you to do. You can get away with it.
I don't know.
She laughed.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I just
good.
Let her think that.
That.
Mother's always
I know you do.
Always.
Yeah, good idea. That's wisdom, yeah.
We always know.
Just let her think she's getting by with it.
Yeah, I just let her think
that's funny.
So she'd feel a little better. But I know.
She knows.
Yeah,
better.
That's
the more you're a mother, and you have children, the more you find out what's really going on. The problem is sometimes our children learn so late in life. It's like, man, I wish they could have learned that like 20 years ago.
Right.
But it doesn't always happen.
My mom taught me from a very young age, long as I can remember, that there was nothing worse than a liar. Okay, that she repeated that many times to me. And she said, if you ever lie to your mother, something really bad will happen. And she told me all these stories, like my grandmother, you know. Her mother went to swim when she wasn't supposed to, she went to the pool to swim. And she got caught, of course, because somebody was drowning, and she saw them from the high dive and dove in and saved their life. So her picture was on the in the paper. So her mother found out that she went swimming. And then another time, she went to the store when she wasn't supposed to, and she ended up getting shot in the leg. Some guy, was looking at a rifle or something in the store, and it went off. So, you know, that scared me. I lied once to my mom. I was in high school, and I ended up telling her finally because I couldn't live with myself. I couldn't live with it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I had kids. You know, my kids were in grade school, and I finally told her the truth, and shit, if I didn't get in trouble, I knew I was going to get in trouble. I didn't want to tell her, but I had to.
Yeah.
I just couldn't lie to my mom, you know.
Right.
Tina, however, she has lied to me. She doesn't know I know, but I know.
Yeah.
But any mother, you know, I want her to be happy, so. And I want him to be safe. I'm so worried about him going across the world, kind of.
Right. And,
they're supposed to leave Thursday, and it's going to rain really bad.
Where are they going?
Close to, so.
They're traveling?
Puerto Rico.
What's in Puerto Rico? Vacation?
What is it, or what's in it? What's
vacation? What are they doing?
Well, her husband's family. That's where he's from. It's Puerto Rico. So his family, they're going to visit the family.
Oh, gotcha, yeah.
But, it's dangerous there.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean, the government, or a lot of crooks?
Everything.
A lot of murders?
Yeah, a lot of drugs. They almost got shot once. Somebody did a drive-by. And my daughter had not left where she was to go to the bathroom. I mean, the bullet came right there. In fact, her husband still has shrapnel in him from the bullets hitting right next to him.
When was this?
Oh, a few years ago. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
They swore they were never going back, but, they're going back. Yeah, it's just not. And then we got COVID, and, you know, the poor people have never even recovered from the hurricanes and tsunamis down there. It's just bad. Some people still don't have electricity.
No way.
Yep, not kidding. I don't think his mother has electricity, actually. She has three generators she uses.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's bad. It's really bad.
My gosh. So what, they're going to go down there for how long, you know?
Oh, about a week.
Wow.
So you just got to pray that they're safe and everything goes all right and they come back safe and...
Yeah.
You know, it's that time. My grandkids are going through a lot. And
how old are the grandkids?
My grandson. Well, my grandson's 13. He just got a scholarship to this really great high school, a partial scholarship, like $3,300 to go to school there. I mean, he got in and.
I mean, scholarship doing what?
To go to high school.
What's he good at?
This school for academics.
Okay. Oh,
because he did so well on the test. But the tuition is like $13,000 a year. So, you know, kind of panicked on that. Yeah. That's just one. But there's a few years in between him and my granddaughter.
And the other one, yeah.
Almost four.
$13,000 to go to a high school?
Yep.
Must be a special high school.
It's a good high school. It's a good high school. It's got all this. I mean, they had this. I can't remember who it was, but somebody pretty famous is an alumni, and he sunk, several million dollars into the school. And they have that computer that's like in the air, you know, like you don't really see it. I've just seen it on movies, you know, but you can touch and use it. Yeah, it's just crazy. Yeah, all kinds of really cool stuff. Good teachers.
I would love to see.
You know, so he really wanted to go. And so that was a big plus that he got, you know, it's hard to even get in, let alone get a scholarship, you know. He was disappointed. He was sad.
He got a full scholarship or a partial scholarship?
No, 30%. like $3,300. Yeah.
I see.
And he was very depressed because he thought he was going to get a full ride. You know, he wanted to get the full scholarship. And he knows
right.
if he had studied a little more, he would have, you know. Super smart.
Oh, so he should have gotten the full. Okay. That's his heart.
Yeah. Yeah. He thought he'd be able to do that. He feels bad now because it's going to cost money and, you know. And
yeah.
We're all like, well, we don't care. We just got to find the money, you know.
Yeah, somewhere. No,
through
yeah,
it.
It's gonna...
yeah. Yeah, you want the best for them, right? It's bad
Absolutely.
Here. You know, I think it's, you know, it's really bad here. There's so much killing going on in New York. I don't know if you ever
yeah.
see the news, but it's every day.
Yeah, a little bit.
People are getting stabbed and shot. We had an 18 or 11 month old baby got shot in the face.
I heard about that.
From a drive-by, you know, but every day today, a 22 year old and yesterday a lady in her apartment, a couple of police officers, just it's constant. Like it was in
yeah.
the old day when we were young. And you always heard how bad New York was, and, you know, then it got
yeah.
cleaned up for a long time. But getting back like that
yeah,
again.
I think Rudy Giuliani kind of cleaned it up.
Yeah, he did, actually, way back when. But he went off the deep end. I don't know what happened to him. He's just nuts. Should hear something. They're all going to end up in prison if they don't want – I mean – it really could be that way if
so.
They all end up in jail.
I don't
it's
think
so. It's so bad. You don't
I don't
think so?
They will. I'm not saying some of them won't, but it's all a bunch of threats. They just don't like
yeah.
Trump. And, of course, I don't think Trump's supposed to do anything anyway, but I like him. I like a lot of his stuff. He kind of has an odd
yeah,
way about him, but I like his – I think that the fact that he's fighting abortion – I thought that was pretty cool.
Right,
but
I don't even think. I don't know.
I don't see him coming back in office no matter what. No matter what the Democrats
oh,
do, no matter what Biden does,
you know,
no matter how Biden messes up, it's not going to happen because it,
you
God
never know.
Is
I don't
going
know.
A whole different direction. It's not
well,
happen.
Unless
I'm telling you, it's not going to
no,
happen.
No, yeah. Yeah, there's going to – maybe there'll be somebody brand new that we don't even know about. I don't know. Somebody, maybe God will make
I don't
someone
know.
New. I don't know, but they released
I mean,
a bunch of tapes that Trump had, you know, phone tapes that him trying to get some votes and stuff. And I'm like, oh God, I don't even look at them. I don't.
Yeah,
look.
They're gonna come up with all kinds of stuff. Half of it's gonna be worthless, bunch of lies. Some of it will be partially true, but it's all a political thing, political hack
yeah.
job. But to me, God's working a thing, so it doesn't matter what the politicians do. It's what God's going to do in the midst of all of it. So sometimes God uses a lot of that stuff to take it where He wants it to go, and it's going to go where God wants it to go, no matter what anybody says, no matter how many boats come in.
Right.
It doesn't make any difference. It's not going to change anything.
Right. Yeah. It's. I'm just trying to think. You know, the things that are happening. I'm looking back on some of the dreams I've had, but I dreamt them many years ago, right? And they're all kind of making sense now. And I'm
dreams
seeing
about
it.
What? About what?
Oh, about water coming up, you know, about the earth flooding, but it wasn't from rain. It was from the ground. And
right.
I remember looking up, it's, you know, somebody asking me to try to calm the people down. And I'm like, me? Why? You know? And I remember looking up and trying to explain about the rainbow, but then the rainbow was upside down. That was really weird. The rainbow that I saw in my dream was upside down. And
right.
I couldn't figure that one out. But I'm worried about living so close to the water here. You know?
Huh.
I'm right on the ocean.
I don't know. Could be symbolic.
I had a dream once. About a tsunami, and it was going to hit Florida, And I remember in my dream, I had never seen, I didn't know it was called a tsunami because it was before the first one ever hit that I knew of.
Yeah.
It was, you
in
know,
India.
In the 90s, I had this dream.
Right.
And I was running, trying to find Dana and trying to warn people to get out, that it was going to come, you know. And I remember seeing that wall of water that had to be 30 feet high that was coming towards,
right.
And it was, I remember I was in Florida at the time in the dream.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know, I guess it worries me, you know, because my dreams have, there are certain dreams that are normal dreams and there's dreams that are not, you know.
Upside down rainbow.
Yeah,
wow.
Upside down rainbow. It's scary.
Yeah, for sure. All right, interesting. All right, I guess I'm going to move on here. Been good talking to you.
Yeah, thanks.
Anything we need to pray
thank
about?
Thank you for your prayers. You take care.
All right.
No,
all
but
right.
Just
nice
Dana. You know, just praying for Dana and her
Puerto
job.
Puerto Rico, yeah.
You know, this interview.
And a job thing, yeah. All right, we will do it. Thank you, Sharon. Nice talking
trip.
To you.
All right, honey. Thank you, Randy.
Be careful out there.
God bless you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay.
You too, bye-bye. All right, let's go here to 111. Who would talk to you from, please?
Hi, Prophet Randy. It's Barbara from Texas.
Hi. Oh, hi, Barbara.
Hi,
Barbara. All right, let's pray for you. Hang on a second. Let's pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Barbara, God. We thank you for the divine intervention, Father, into the brain waves, the people having brain waves. You know, waves of emotion, waves of overwhelm, waves of, you know, you can have waves of anointing, waves of anxiety, waves of stress that are coming against people. We're going to have all kinds of things are going to come in waves. They're going to come in waves, waves, like waves of glory, waves of destruction, waves of anxiety, waves of stress, waves of fear, waves of faith, you know, all kinds of waves. It's like movements. You're going to have movements of things, but they're going to be extreme, like extreme faith, extreme hope, you know, extreme fear, extreme destruction, you know, and all through, and much of it's going to affect the minds of people. And so our job, of course, is to warn them, you know, pray over them, get their eyes on Jesus, that they will be looking forward to the waves of God's glory where they don't, When things begin to happen in the earth, they will not run away from God. Like Donald was talking about tonight, they will run to God. They will not run away from that. That they will find that their heart is searching after God. When things go wrong, when things go crazy, they're going to be searching after God, looking to God. And so I thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name. And amen. All right. All right, Barbara, what's going on tonight? How are y'all?
Just listening, enjoying the show. It was very good. Yes. And so just getting closer to him and just loving about being a glory carrier, being in his glory, being in his presence and feeling it so powerful that it moves all in your stomach like a wave. So that actually happened. So that's why been praying about it, you know, just having different movements of it, manifestations, and it felt so good.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, as I was prophesying over you tonight, I started seeing things come in waves. You know, like sometimes the waves of, you know, you have like the Russia thing going on right now. That's caused a lot of fear with a lot of people. You know, everybody looks at, it depends on how you look at things. You know, you look at it as the end times are upon us and God is going to be good, or you can look at it as, oh, my God, they're going to start killing everybody. Oh, my God, the world's going to fall apart. And so the waves, what I kept seeing when I was prophesying tonight was like, you know, waves coming. But which wave are you going to pick up on? Like a wavelength. when you talk about wavelengths, waves, you talk about like even radio wavelengths, and TV, you know, which channel are you connected to? What wavelength are you listening to? Fear? Are you listening to human beings trying to interpret the global disasters in human terms? Or are you connected into the wavelength of God, you know, to where everything you see it through God's eyes? So I kept seeing that like waves, like this, not just stuff happening in little trinkles, but in waves, which is kind of like, you know, like that, like Sharon was talking about that tsunami, that 300-foot wave coming in. You know, like things are going to start coming in waves, like tsunamis. Either the glory of God or it's going to be, you know, fear and destruction. And it's like there's going to be such an extremeness about things that, you know, it's going to be extreme. So, anyway, there you go.
Thank you. That's good. Very understandable. So I'm just excited. I'm learning some things about these ways, the things that the Lord is having me to more, like, watch. You know how you just always... before God, some people call it maybe the green room. Some people call it being a watchman, a gatekeeper, intercessor. And so I've just been in his presence, just feeling and just seeing the glory of God and trying to understand the levels of it and going higher in him than to get tied up or wrapped up in the thing of men. I wanted to feel and know the things of God. I don't know if I'm saying that clear enough, but a lot of times we get caught up in too many rules. And so I got in the presence of him and asking him to just to do some things and let me see it happen. Let me feel the thing. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the wavelength that we're on, there's things, you know, it's going to be people are going to get, you know, they're going to catch the waves of glory, you know, it's like in the day of Pentecost, you know, it says a mighty rushing wind. Well, when you think of a mighty rushing wind, you know, it wasn't a wind from Russia, the mighty rushing wind, it was a mighty rushing, like R-U-S-H-I-A, mm-hmm. rushing wind, like a wave of God's glory hitting. And those who are waiting for God, like you're talking about, who are seeking him, who are up in the upper room, so to speak, you know, say, Jesus, pour out your glory, pour out your spirit. What's going on? We don't know what to do without you. Help us out. And then all of a sudden, here comes this, you know, this wave of the wind of God. And poured out on people. There was new languages given. There was new outpouring. All of a sudden, people got they started seeing everything differently. Like Peter now could walk in miracles when before he couldn't hardly, you know, heal a gnat. You know, he couldn't hardly cast out a devil. Now it's like, you know, his focus completely changed because now he's been hit by a wave of the glory of God, and that's what makes a difference. People are going to get hit with fear. Waves of fear, waves of looking at man, looking at things according to man, according to the news cycle, are going to look at things according to the wavelength of God they're connected to.
Wow.
It's not going to be anything
awesome.
Much in between.
Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah. So that's where I'm at. I'm just waiting on the Lord to, you know, I'm just looking through the lenses of him and through his eyes and see what he see, know his mind and being in his presence. And so that's where I'm at. I needed that. So thank you. Yes.
Okay. All right. All right. Awesome. Barbara, anything we can pray with you about? Anything up?
Yeah. Well, I just have some unspoken requests that the things around me, I'm just wanting more of God than ever to change, like you said. So I'm just praying and fasting and just asking the Lord, you know, because I heard you was talking about, I don't want to be caught up like in these churches, these buildings, but I just need to do something different. You know, sometimes
yeah.
we have to make that move, that step of faith to do something different.
Exactly.
Instead
yeah.
of, you know, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of.
So,
kind
but
of
you,
what was going on with Donald and Tanya, what happened with Donald and Tanya was like, you know, they got a word on January the 4th about not being under somebody else's salary or paycheck. But, you know, God's going to give them a new resource.
Yeah,
and then 2 weeks later, they lost their job out of the blue, or Donald lost his job, got laid off. And it's like, you know, it's like that was a wave, man. It was like the wave of that thing is like hit, like boom. All of a sudden, the word of the Lord comes to pass. Like going, if they hadn't had that word, you know, from the Lord, they would have had anything to stand on. You know, at least they had that to stand on. And then with people don't have works from God or information from the Lord, when things fall apart, you know, they're going to freak out. They're going to, you know, but when we have words from God or we have the presence of God with us, you know, helping us, then we make it through things. And so we thank you, Jesus, for Barbara. Thank you, Lord, for her, for the circumstances around her, God, that you're going to open up her heart at a new levels, open up her mind at new levels, God, and showing her how to, you know, we can think and reason out with the glory of God at a certain level. Then God says, I'm going to take you to another level of reasoning out things out by the Spirit of God. And so we go from glory to glory. We go from faith to faith. Faith to faith, what is faith? Faith is hearing from God. So if we're going to go from faith to faith, that means we hear from God in a different way. We think, we look at things differently. We think about things differently. And if we don't transition into that, we're going to miss out on the next wave. So I thank you, Lord, that Barbara is yielding to you. You're revealing yourself to her, Father. She has a heart for you, God, and she's going to enter into that new wave as she steps out in faith to obey your voice and to watch you move through her, God, through your glory through her, Father, in Jesus' name. Give her strength. Let her go from this realm of faith that she's been in to a whole other level of faith, from faith to faith, from glory to glory. In Jesus' name, so she will hear your voice and know and be drawn into stepping out and doing what you tell her to do. Confirm it with signs and wonders in Jesus' name. All right, Barbara.
Jesus' name. Thank you, Pastor Randy. Happy Valentine's
Thanks.
Day. You enjoy.
Yeah,
Bye.
Valentine's Day. Yeah. Happy yeah. Valentine's Day, everybody. Yep, it
Yay.
Is definitely still Valentine's. It's almost over. No, wait a minute. I think it's over now. Yeah, you got in there right
oh,
before it was over.
That's
All
another
right.
wave. It is over. Bye.
Another wave. We're in another wave now. We went from Valentine's yeah. Day to the day after Valentine's Day. You're in about a minute. All right.
Thanks.
God bless you. Okay, thank you.
All right.
All right, you know what, y'all? I'm going to call it a night tonight. I'm like, had a great day today. Had a Valentine stuff going on, so I'm Valentined out. Been great. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody. If I miss you tonight, we'll get you next time. So, all right. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.